Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
Nichino America Incorporated has officially withdrawn the proposed label for PQZ, the highly effective and safe pesticide that is used throughout the country on cotton to control aphid and whitefly. This now brings a total to five chemicals that every cotton grower can use in the United States except for California, that according to the California Cotton Ginners and Growers Association. Nichino submitted the label to the California Department of Pesticide Regulation in January of 2019. The review process was held up by the Groundwater Protection Program within the CDPR due to potential risk to groundwater. Despite being registered federal with the Federal Environmental Protection Agency and passing federal EPA groundwater standards, PQZ could not pass the California Water Quality Standard. Nichino tried to offer far-reaching mitigation measures, including applying only every other year, reducing label usage to a single crop, or even imposing specific restrictions in high leaching zones. California would not budge, according to CCGA. Nichino and the association met with CDPR on numerous occasions, but CDPR would still not budge. Consequently, Nichino's withdrawal of the registration ends a five-plus-year struggle and now joins a list of tools that are available to every other cotton grower in the country but California. Once again, this information from CCGA. The Walnut Bargaining Association has announced it is embarking on a new strategic direction with the retirement of Jonathan W. Field, who has served as the executive director of the association since 2002 and is now retiring. The Walnut Bargaining Association is a grower-owned cooperative established in 1991 and is the only organization that exists solely to represent California walnut farmers. Moving forward, WBA has secured new management through Chris Zaboni and Ag Association Management Services, a firm representing over 30 different ag associations headquartered in Sacramento. They are very excited to be working with someone as experienced as Chris Zanobini, who has a diverse staff. The hope is this will allow the organization to expand into other areas that will benefit California walnut farmers, according to Donald Noreen, chairman of the WBA. Ag Association Management Services provides management and operational services for associations, foundations, commissions, and marketing orders, according to Chris Zanobini. He says they currently manage and or provide services to a diverse group of agricultural-based organizations and are committed to providing a professional staff and team of experts to address legislative, regulatory, and member concerns. Agricultural operations in California have been significantly impacted by recent storms, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture has technical and financial assistance available to help farmers and livestock producers recover from these adverse weather events. Impacted producers should contact their local USDA service center to report losses and learn more about program options available to assist in their recovery from crop, land, infrastructure, and livestock losses and damages. USDA stands ready to assist California farmers, livestock producers, landowners, and communities clean up and restore farmland, forests, and watersheds in the aftermath of these devastating storms, according to Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Robert Bonney. He says USDA employees are working diligently to deliver their extensive portfolio of disaster assistance programs and services. The Sutter Buttes Regional Land Trust finalized a conservation easement that will permanently protect 952 acres in Yuba County, according to officials. The trust finalized a conservation easement on the Magnolia Ranch property, which will now protect a rice farm from any future development. In 2019, the landowners initiated a partnership with Sutter Buttes Regional Land Trust to begin the process of placing a conservation easement over the ranch, permanently protecting the land from development, according to officials. The easement was funded by the California Strategic Growth Council's Sustainable Agricultural Lands Conservation Program in collaboration with the Department of Conservation. According to the California Department of Conservation, the SALC program supports agricultural land conservation, economic growth, and sustainable development by providing grants for three types of projects: land use planning grants that support the development of local and regional land use policies and economic development strategies to protect critical agricultural land, agricultural conservation acquisition grants to permanently protect croplands, rangelands, and lands utilized for the cultivation of traditional resources from conversion to non-agricultural uses, and capacity and project development grants to expand organizational capacity to develop agricultural conservation acquisition projects. Officials said additional funding for the easement came from the Department of Defense Readiness and Environmental Protection Integration Program, which provides funding for land conservation or management activities that limit development in the vicinity of DOD installations and seek to improve military installation resilience. In August of 2023, the Sutter Buttes Regional Land Trust was able to permanently preserve over 800 acres of farmland known as the Dana Farms Conservation Easement. Much like the most recent easement, the preservation is meant to help preserve the agricultural landscape of the community and create a buffer of open space between development plots, according to officials. And according to the Sutter Buttes Regional Land Trust, the Magnolia Ranch property is part of a larger rural region with a history of farming, ranching, and an established military community. According to Blue Book and Produce IQ, citrus production in North America is transitioning northward. Average citrus prices are at 10-year highs due to long-awaited but disease-breeding rain on the West Coast and strong demand. Down 11% over the previous week, average citrus prices are declining slightly due to an increase in volume from Mexican growers. However, the reprieve is forecasted to be short-lived. At $23, romaine lettuce prices clinched the second highest slot in the last 10 years for this time of the year. Rain has left the product vulnerable to quality issues such as mildew and peel. If the weather cooperates, prices should follow iceberg's lead and soften here real soon. At $26, raspberry prices defy historical trends for this time of the year. Good news for buyers, though. Record high prices are not forecasted to last very long. Mexican export volume is down considerably, but is projected to ramp up quickly over the next few weeks. Kings River Packing LP, a leader in the citrus industry, is offering heirloom navels. This fruit offering is a testament to the company's commitment to quality, tradition, and preservation. Established in 1977, Kings River Packing has a rich history rooted in the fertile soils of the San Joaquin Valley near the Kings River. For over 47 years, the company has been dedicated to cultivating premium citrus fruits, maintaining stringent quality standards, and delivering unparalleled freshness to consumers worldwide, according to the company. Heirloom navels represent a culmination of Kings River Packing's expertise and dedication to preserving heritage varieties. The oranges are not just fruits, they're also a slice of history, carefully nurtured and cultivated to retain authentic flavors and characteristics of their ancestors. The heritage behind Kings River heirloom navels traces back 8 generations to 1866, when William Hazelton planted the first orange trees in Fresno County. With trees over 150 years old, the company says each fruit embodies a legacy of superior taste and unparalleled quality. Along with bagged and bulk options, this year Kings River Packing released a 6-count tray that is not only kind to the environment as a 100% recyclable package, but also suited for easy display and grab-and-go convenience for shoppers. Students for Eco-Education and Agriculture is expanding its agriculture and nutrition education programs in Santa Barbara County for the 2023-24 school year. Nearly doubling participation from the previous school year, over 3,000 third-grade students in 23 schools and 6 school districts will take part in classroom education and farm field trips to learn about the origins of their food and the value of proper nutrition and healthy eating. CAG's programs are offered in 3 segments, a classroom presentation discussing agriculture and how food is grown, a field trip to CAG's farm lab at the Viticulture Center Community Garden at Allen Hancock College, and a youth wellness initiative presentation about the importance of healthy eating and physical activity. The programs are 100% cost-free for students, teachers, and schools, including a $300 reimbursement for bus transportation to CAG's farm lab. New Santa Barbara County schools participating this year include Isla Vista Elementary, Summerland Elementary, Roosevelt Elementary, and Aliso Elementary. Founded in 2008, SEAG is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. They rely on donations to support its programs and its annual Santa Barbara County Farm Day and Ventura County Farm Day when local farms open their doors to the public. Since it began, it has reached over 100,000 elementary school students in Central and Southern California to increase their understanding of the food journey. For more information, log on to SEAG.org, and that's spelled SEEAG.org.
Almond growers in 2023 had a rough go with bacterial blast due to the abnormal precipitation received by the state. This year, while not as much rain has been seen, growers will most likely see a recurrence of blast. UCCE Orchard Systems Advisor Jamie Ott encourages growers to make a plan now to keep blast damage to a minimum.
The conditions that are most conducive to disease are cold, wet weather. And when I say cold, I mean freezing cold, wet weather. And the reason for that is that bacteria don't really have a good way of infecting plants unless there is an entryway made. And so frost damage can make that entryway into the tree for the bacteria.
Frost protection is the most economical prevention option and will help prevent damage from both frost and bacterial blast.
Since the bacteria needs a way in, if you can prevent frost damage in your trees, you're preventing not just the frost damage, but you're also preventing the bacteria from getting in. So that's the basic reason that frost prevention is so important for preventing bacterial blast damage. Another reason is that many bacterial blast strains are resistant to copper. And when people think they're preventing bacterial blast by spraying copper, in a lot of cases they aren't. I was out at several orchards last spring that had done 2 or 3 copper sprays during the winter and still were hit pretty hard with bacterial blast. And so in those situations, the copper is not doing you any good, so you need to take advantage of every other option you have.
The best way to prevent frost damage is to keep vegetation relatively short and soil moist.
Moist, bare soil, when warmed by the heat of the sun, can hold more heat than soil that has a cover crop on it, or resident vegetation, or then dry soil. Dry soil is actually the coldest, leads to the coldest orchard. Something that I do see people kind of maybe not understanding or getting wrong is that they will irrigate in the afternoon before the frost. And really what you're trying to do is put the water in the soil maybe a couple days before the frost so that the soil is nice and moist and the sun has a chance to warm it up that whole day before you have the frost event that evening. In terms of other frost prevention strategies, if you have the option to run sprinklers during the frost event, that can raise the temperature in your orchard a degree or two, which can make the difference between having frost damage and not having frost damage, depending on the situation.
Almond growers also have another tool in the toolbox for bacterial blast in the form of Cosumin, which just received emergency registration for the 2024 growing season in California. It is effective for preventing blast when applied up to 7 days before cold, wet weather.
It is an antibiotic that you can spray on the same way as you would do a copper spray. And the same way as you would do a copper spray, it is preventative. It's not curative. So what you need to think about is putting, if you're interested in putting on this material, is you need to think about putting it on within a week of your frost event or your weather that is conducive to bacterial blast. The antibiotic breaks down pretty quickly with the UV light outside, so it actually only lasts 6 or 7 days, which is part of why it's pretty safe to use, but also kind of irritating from an application standpoint. So I believe the emergency registration is for up to 2 applications of Cosumin, and you can't apply them more frequently than a week apart, but that works well with its activity. In terms of how you would use it, I would use it in place of a copper spray, especially if you were in a situation that you used copper last year and still saw quite a bit of disease, or if you know you have a copper-resistant population. Cosumin has been shown to be very effective against copper-resistant populations, and at this point, we haven't found Cosumin resistance in any Pseudomonas syringae populations in the state. So it is effective. It is expensive though, so that you really want to weigh your potential for disease and your concern about the weather conditions and how much blast maybe you had last year and how much you're counting on not having blast this year. You'll want to weigh that against the cost of the material.
These preventative measures are crucial for growers as bacterial blast is untreatable once it has taken effect onto the tree.
What's really frustrating about bacterial blast is once you see it, it's too late. It's already taken hold. Probably the infection happened a week or two before. And so by the time you see it, the infection has happened and the damage is already done. And there's not anything that I'm aware of that you can do to prevent it from getting worse at that point. So really, prevention is your only control option, which does leave you in this frustrating position of having, expensive sprays that you can use that we know are effective, but you have to be balance that against the risk that you see to having it. So prevention is your only option, really.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
The U.S. Securities Exchange has voted to finalize a climate disclosure rule that dropped a requirement for U.S. listed companies to disclose Scope 3 greenhouse gas emissions, including farms and ranches. The final rule is considered a victory for farmers and ranchers who spoke out against the enhancement and standardization of climate-related disclosures for investors rule. The final rule relieves a significant burden on food companies that rely on agricultural commodities across their supply chains. That rule was touted by the SEC as a way to protect investors in publicly traded companies by requiring those companies to report data about their entire supply chains. When a rule was proposed in April of 2022, a group of more than 100 agriculture interest groups expressed concern that the rule would have required farms and ranches to report personal and business-related information to the SEC. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced the latest developments within a clean energy production and conversion program involving rural electric cooperatives. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
It's part of the Agriculture Department's portfolio of clean energy investment programs.
The New Era program, Empowering Rural America.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told members of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association that
we're inviting the first group of co-ops back to move forward in this process with a full application.
A group of seven rural electric cooperative applicants
representing dozens of the distribution cooperatives in Colorado, Indiana, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Florida and Texas to provide us additional information.
The secretary adds the goal is rolling out several application requests for New Era to make actual awards over the next 2 months. The total New Era program offers up to $9.7 billion.
Designed to challenge rural electric cooperatives to transition from a reliance on fossil fuel generated to a more balanced portfolio that includes renewable energy.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Enrollment is now open for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, and the American Farm Bureau Federation is encouraging dairy producers to enroll in the Risk Management Program. Farm News reporter Michael Clements has more.
The Department of Agriculture this week opens the Dairy Margin Coverage Program enrollment period for 2024. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch says the program helps dairy producers manage risk.
Dairy Margin Coverage, often called DMC, provides a level of risk management protection to dairy farmers under low margin conditions. So that can be caused by low milk prices, high feed costs, or a combination of both. To participate in Dairy Margin Coverage, dairy producers select a coverage level ranging from $4 to $9.50 per hundredweight on 50-cent increments, and then they select a coverage level for their production history ranging from 5% to 95% of their coverage history.
The enrollment period starts Wednesday, February 28th.
Enrollment for the year, which traditionally opens in October, has been delayed up until this point. FSA originally reported delays for software updates, as well as the need to publish a new rule related to production history as the reason why there were delays. AFBF sent a letter urging FSA to open enrollment back on February 6th. Sign up for Dairy Margin Coverage will end April 29th. And the good news is there will be retroactive coverage and payments for those who sign up quickly.
Munch says that while opening DMC enrollment helps, AFBF is still seeking larger changes to how dairy farmers are paid.
National Farmers Union joined AFBF last week to request emergency implementation of the hire of Class 1 mover. We calculated that pool losses for the month of January because of that formula switch back in the 2018 Farm Bill were over $55 million, and that negatively impacts our producers' checks. So we're glad to be joining with National Farmers Union to request that emergency implementation from the Secretary.
Learn more at FB.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
Over the last two decades, disease-related mortality rates have widened between rural and urban areas, especially for the prime working age population, which is ages 25 to 54. Researchers with USDA's Economic Research Service compared natural cause mortality in rural and urban areas between 2-3-year periods, 1999 to 2001 and 2017 to 2019. They found the gap between rural and urban natural cause mortality rates widened between the two time periods. Natural cause mortality rates decreased across all age groups in urban areas. In rural areas, mortality rates decreased for most age groups, although not as much as for the same groups in urban areas, but increased for the prime working age population. The rural group with the largest increase at 19% in natural cause mortality rates was 30 to 34-year-olds. Increased mortality rates for people who are of prime working age are an indicator of worsening population health, which could have negative implications for rural families, communities, employment, and the economy.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.